your weekend breakfast
with Refilwe Mbakanyane on 702.
Let's walk the talk.
And at 12 minutes past 7, it's time to shine the spotlight on Tomorrow Trust, an established NPO that's looking to address some of the township youth's challenges, especially during the pandemic. And they talk about having a holistic approach to both developing academic and life skill proficiencies. And joining us to talk more about that work is the CEO of Tomorrow Trust, James Donald. Welcome to Weekend Breakfast, James. Thanks for your time.
Thanks for having us.
An absolute pleasure. James, you have Tomorrow Trust was established 15 years ago. And what was then the reason or the genesis of the trust being established? What need were you trying to fill?
Well, and originally, so Kim Feinberg was the founder. You know, at the time when South Africa was in, the last time we had a big pandemic, the HIV crisis, you know, I don't know if you, you remember, there was this real fear that we'd have a generation of young people that wouldn't have parents.
Yes.
And, I mean, the country came together in a way that I mean, it was a devastating time, but that fear didn't materialize. But there were thousands of young people in house-headed households. And Kim realized that even though people were getting, you know, better at providing services, so she was visiting homes or home-based care organizations, people were finding food, you know, foster moms, those kinds of things.
Yeah.
But the idea that young people, you know, could or should go to university, you know, have a sort of full career ahead of them, it's not that people didn't think it was possible, it just didn't really even occur to them. So as a young mom herself at the time, you know, she really thought, what could or should we be doing to help, you know, young people in these kinds of circumstances really become, you know, the best possible versions of themselves? And so we started off with scholarships for orphan and vulnerable children to university. And so we have around 120 students a year, universities across South Africa. And then from the beginning, you know, she felt young people who had even less than the average adult support, they would need professional help. So we have psychologists on our programs that really work, and we expect a lot from the participants too, you know, so we do accommodation, living allowance, that kind of stuff. But more importantly, it's about how do you develop yourself? How do you become a conscious leader? How do you figure out your own, you know, identity, meaning and purpose, all those kinds of things? And it's really worked. I mean, we have more than 95% of students who get scholarships through us graduate, even though many aren't necessarily passing when they start.
Yeah, that's really fantastic work and such important work. You know, it sounds, you know, as you talk about and unpack it, it sounds like a no-brainer that, well, of course, if, you know, a child is growing up in a child-headed household, there is no one to point out, you know, things or to make obvious that, you know, education is the way to improve one's life or, you know, to get ahead in life. But it's really incredible that, you know, this opportunity, you saw this opportunity and this is the path you've been on for the last 15 years. How have you brought all of this experience to bear in another pandemic, another a global pandemic, in fact, which is COVID-19? Have you done anything differently or just really doubled down on the work you've already been doing?
I mean, all of us, right, know how challenging that time's been, and those of us who are parents as well. So we also have programs for children from grade R to grade 12. Department of Social Development, you know, puts us in contact with home-based care organizations, and we do Saturday and holiday schools. So obviously we have to move all that programming, you know, online and use WhatsApp and do home deliveries, all those kinds of things. So we had a really, really busy year last year, like all of us did. And actually now these holiday programs in April, we're going to be having our first, you know, in-person holiday programs again, you know, more than 1,000 children in Joburg and Cape Town, obviously with protocols and all those things. But I think the thing that's really helped us is about 3 or 4 years ago, we started really trying to understand how does this shift in digital opportunities, what does that allow to kind of change the way that we support our children? So, you know, if you think back to when you were sort of 15 or 16 or 20 or 21, there are always these moments in your education when you start seeing yourself differently, you know?
Yeah. So
education's at least 50% about the world inside your head, right? You start seeing yourself differently, whether it's a choir teacher or somebody at church or you know, a master. Something makes you start thinking, wow, I can actually be good at this. You know,
I can't
do this now, and you start switching to saying, you know, that strength mindset thing. I can't do it yet. And that kind of growth, that comes out of, you know, a good education experience needs a challenge and support, those two things together. And what has been fascinating about the challenge side of COVID-19 is that all of us have experienced the same challenge.
Yeah.
So when you've been able to support people, you know, suddenly you have children sort of seeing that everyone's going through this, but I'm not alone in this process, and also I can help others. So we've had, you know, I think really been able to use the digital stuff to kind of give a bit more of a tailored approach so that you're not just having everyone do the same curriculum.
Mm-hmm.
But we have definitely found, you know, that it's, you need to be able to build trust and have a space for like compassion and growth. It's very hard to do that virtually. So you have to do things in a blended way.
Yeah.
And then just the community has been fantastic. We've had our supporters and donors and individuals have really stepped up to support us. During COVID-19.
And I've read that you've delivered over 4,000 self-care packages to students, you know, and the contents of which include range from sanitizers, masks, and food vouchers. And I guess I'm curious how, you know, you've spoken about this blended approach to lending help and giving and delivering your services. I'm curious about how you are then supported as an organization so that you can give this kind of holistic support to these children.
Yeah, I mean, and you're talking on the news, you know, about people that sort of, you know, BE deals that have a sort of a tainted side to them, you know. But one of the things that I think people sometimes underestimate is the real value in the incentives that South Africa's law puts on companies, you know, to do good. So
yeah.
South African companies spend a lot of money on CSI, either for their own internal policies. I mean, many of them spend a large portion of their funding on socioeconomic development funds or sometimes their ownership deals through trusts.
Yeah.
So, you know, we've really found that if you build relationships with companies and if you align, you know, you understand the law, you align yourself well with them, that people will invest. Even, you know, we had this real fear that as people's cash flows, you know, came under risk during COVID, that the first thing they would cut would be their SED, socioeconomic development contributions, or their corporate social investment contributions. And actually we found, by and large, it was the opposite. You know, people would reach out to us and say, look, we really know that things are difficult right now. We're going to make sure we stick to our commitments to you. You know, how can we help? And so everything from, you know, getting SIM cards to you know, older children who already have access to devices, to actually getting devices themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And then also physical donations, you know, people that donated stock of things like, you know, healthcare products, things that you think might not be that valuable, but then you have, you know, soap or shampoo and all those kinds of things. So I think it's really a question of people will help if they trust that what you're going to do, if they trust that you'll do what you say you'll do.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you ask them, you know, and I think that's really been our success, you know, that our partners have really stepped up and helped us.
Yeah, that's really encouraging. And, you know, obviously you are there, the children, the young people, the youth that you work with have relied on you all these years. And, you know, what sense did you get? You referenced the idea or the fact that, you know, that you were able to make them aware of the fact that they're not alone in this period, in this difficult period of COVID-19. Everyone's going through it. Everyone is experiencing some difficulty. But did you get a sense of, you know, the people, the young people that you work with relying on you, reaching out to you rather, even more and asking for help when they needed it? What did that look like? Were there more calls to your sort of socio-psychological services and counselling?
Well, that's a great question. So so the psychologists on our team, you know, work directly with our university students. And so what we did to try and increase access to the school students is we had a hotline that we created. So we had WhatsApp contact with parents and caregivers and then also individual kids. And then we had a number that people could send a message to, and then we would set up calls.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually found that, you know, the uptake of that wasn't massively high. We still do, you know, 3 or 4 sort of young people a week would kind of reach out. And I think the barriers to asking for help are really high. Right? You know, people tend to internalize when things are difficult, you know, when you're depressed, when you're feeling stuck, when you feel like you're failing at your exams, often the first thing we tend to do is criticize ourselves. You know, mm-hmm. I'm not good enough, I haven't done enough, or we start feeling hopeless, you know. So to be honest, I don't think people know there's a mental health crisis in the country, but I think the barriers to asking for help are really, really big. And so what we've realized is if you want to build that relationship of like a caring adult, you often need to have small little moments, you know, where it's safe to ask for help. And that is very difficult to do virtually. You know, so like, again, I use a sport example, like a choir. You think about the sort of 10 minutes before or after when your coach or teacher is sort of not doing anything.
Absolutely.
And you kind of shuffle around the back and then build up the sort of confidence to sort of ask for help. And those kind of spaces are really missing during COVID.
Yeah.
And so we've been trying to deliberately, you know, recreate those spaces. So we've been talking a lot more to parents. One of the things that helped last year was when we delivered care packages, we'd use local schools and the children and the families would come. So we would just sort of take our time. We'd always have some of the psychologists or some of the volunteer staff there just kind of hanging around, you know, and then sort of making it clear that, you know, I'm here to talk when you need.
Yes,
and those kinds of spaces young people tend to use.
Okay. You've got a team of 16 full-time staff, and of course they are working remotely. Do you need volunteers? Do young people in communities take the opportunity to work with you to gain some experience and to give back? How does it work?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, if people are interested, they can always drop us an email. It's info@tomorrow.org.za. And we do have, you know, volunteer opportunities for students, you know, for your listeners, for young people, people always can reach out. Also for those that people are interested, either, you know, we have staff that come from our partner organizations that that's where the virtual stuff has helped, you know, so we'll do virtual career days or we'll do virtual sessions so that people can call in and meet with our students. And then on the 29th of April, we have our AGM, and what we're going to do is from 3 to 4 that day, we'll have a virtual, like a plenary session, where anybody can join a Zoom call, and they can meet some of our young people, meet some of our students, hear some of the stories, share some of their own stories of how the challenge and support during this time has helped them grow. That might be a nice way to kind of get a bit of a sense of the organization. And then during April now, and June we'll have holiday programs, and there are always opportunities for people to come and volunteer.
Fantastic stuff. Thank you so much for your time, and do keep up the good work that you're doing.
Yeah, thank you, and comfort. I really enjoyed it. Thank you
Absolute
so much.
Absolute pleasure. That's James Donald, CEO of Tomorrow Trust, an organization that's focused on a holistic approach to helping young people, youths and townships, both to develop academic and life skills proficiencies. And of course, as he highlighted, it's particularly important to do this for children who are living in child-headed households and going through an especially difficult time during this period of lockdown of COVID-19.